Those of you who know me know that I deeply adore my brother and my sister, my siblings, my older siblings. They have been a great strength to me. They've been a great encouragement to my life, my ministry, my family. As a kid, I found myself asking for my siblings to be many things for me. I found myself, being in times where I needed them to be my financiers. I needed some money. I needed them to give me some money so I can go to the corner store to go get what we called penny candy. That's where you could just pay a penny and get a piece of candy. And I would get money for them. There were bullies in my neighborhood. And I would need my big brother, who was big for his age, very muscular, very athletic. I needed my big brother to strike fear in the hearts of some of the neighborhood bullies. They would know not to mess with me. There were times I needed them to be playmates. Can't play folded up socks football. I don't know if y'all know about folded up socks football, but you can't play folded up socks football by yourself. So my brother was the quarterback. He would call the plays, and I would run the routes, including that across the middle route that I ran years ago. It was perfect. He threw a perfect pass. I jumped to catch the ball, and I fell right through my mother's brand new glass coffee table. I might add that I got in trouble for that, and my brother was nowhere to be found. Years ago, I remember preparing to go off to college. I was preparing to go to Michigan Christian College to study for ministry. And I remember the church that I was going to, some friends there threw a going away party for me and a couple others who were going away to college. And I remember leaving the party, and I was dropping a friend off, and I remember I had an upset stomach, and I knew that I had to remedy this situation soon, or there was going to be trouble. The friend that I was dropping off informed me that their bathroom was out of service. No problem. My brother lived nearby, so I drove over to my brother's house, and my brother wasn't home. It was getting a little serious here, church. And I drove to another friend's house who lived nearby, and they weren't home. Without going into all of the details of the story, I went back to my brother's house, and he was home, but it was too late. And I remember when I saw my brother, the first thing I said to him when I saw him was, "Where were you at?" And I remember him looking at me with a disgusting look, and you can talk to him about the remainder of that story. There are a lot of things that I needed from my brother or needed my brother to be. At that moment, I needed for my brother to be home, and he wasn't home. We have an abundance of needs, and throughout our lifetime, many people have provided those needs. Now, I thank the Lord that he has been so providential in giving us and providing for us all of our needs through others like parents and siblings and friends. Yet there are deeper needs, more significant needs, and more pressing needs than a brother needing his brother to be home in a dire circumstance. But I'm talking about some of these deeper needs, like a need for love, a need for deep care, a need for real relationship, a need for guidance, a need for emotional nourishment, a need for the quenching of a spiritual thirst, a need for connection, a need for a second chance, a need for forgiveness. A need for understanding, a need for belonging and acceptance. Do any of you recognize any of those needs? Do you recognize the moments in your life where those were the very needs that you had? Are you recognizing that right now as you hear me speak, that those are needs that lie deep within your soul? I mean, that's just a sampling of needs, and I'm not saying that some of the important people in our lives have not provided some of these things, provided some of those needs or met some of those needs. I will say that these needs are met by someone who knows you, or that is to say that there is someone who is so willing and eager to meet those needs in ways that you've never had them met before. These needs can be and will be met by someone who knows you, who knows us, and who ultimately knows the best way to meet those needs that are deeply embedded inside of us. His name is Jesus. That's not a secret. This is our proclamation. This has been our message. This is our truth that we hold deeply with our entire lives. This has been a message preached from the very beginning of the Christian message. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is presented as one whose very existence started in the beginning of all things. The Gospel writer John writes this in John chapter 1, starting at verse number 1. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being? In him was life, and the life was the light of all people." And dropping down to verse number 14, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Now, this was a very powerful introduction to what John would write in his gospel narrative on the life of Jesus. And John contains some incredible themes, some patterns, and messages. One of the themes that many have captured, have written about, preached about, and discussed for thousands of years is that of Jesus' declarations of himself. He made these declarations in very emphatic ways about himself. On several occasions, Jesus, in the midst of a teaching, a discourse or declaration amongst some of his disciples or even some of his opponents, he would make a statement of himself using this phrase, "I am." On one of those occasions, he said, "I am the light of the world." On another occasion, he said, "I am the bread of life." On another occasion, he said, "I am the good shepherd." Still on another occasion, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These occasions are important occasions for us to pay attention to. It's important for us, I think, to explore as we find ourselves in a really a dark place. We need Jesus to be the light of the world, or we may find ourselves in the need of some nourishment and in the need of Jesus to be the bread of life. Or we might find ourselves in need of direction, correction, and guidance, and we need Jesus to be the good shepherd. I want to read one of those occasions of Jesus making this declaration. It's found in John chapter 8, starting at verse number 48 and 59 through 59. John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. I'll read that text in just a second, but just a little bit of background. Jesus is having a discussion with some fellow Jews who obviously have a problem with Jesus. The Jews claim their allegiance to Abraham, who is a prominent figure in the Jewish religion of Judaism. Earlier, Jesus said that they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. And this sparked a debate where the Jews claim not to be slaves to anything or anyone. But Jesus said that they were slaves to sin, and the evidence of their slavery was their rejection of Jesus. They wanted to kill him. Jesus speaks a painful truth, telling them they are not from God. And so as you continue on, here is how the Jews responded in John chapter 8, starting at verse number 48. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets also died. Who do you claim to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, he of whom you say he is our God, though you do not know him, but I know him. If I would say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out to the temple. I want us to zero in on Jesus saying, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." Believe me, church, there is a significant and long conversation to be had regarding what Jesus said here in this passage. But my time is limited, and I need to get to a point here where Jesus says, what Jesus says here is so profound, it's so powerful, so intimate, and such a powerful summary of all the sermons that I'll preach in the upcoming weeks regarding this theme of I am. Jesus does a few things by making this claim. One, he makes a statement regarding his divine nature. Before Abraham, Jesus existed. This is one of the profound truths that we confess in our faith. The author of John had already shared this to the reading audience in the first chapter. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. That is to say that he existed before everything had been created. No doubt that Jesus being a deity, the Son coexisting with the Father, that was a concept and that was controversial, and it was troubling to some to grasp. And it's probably one of the reasons that John wrote his gospel in the first place, to prove the deity and the divine nature of Jesus. But here Jesus causes no... he's not mincing words here. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." He's speaking of himself and being divine. Something else that Jesus is doing here, he's making a statement invoking the covenant name of God. When Moses, one of our great Old Testament characters, when Moses was being called to lead Israel out of Egypt, he asked God, when they ask who sent me to lead, who should I tell them, sent me? And this is what God said to Moses. This is from Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you." Might be a strange way to answer Moses' question, But it was the appropriate and powerful way to remind Moses and all those who would hear that the God of Israel was a unique deity. He was a unique God. This God was the one that was, that is, and that will be. Moses was told to tell the people that I am has sent me. That would be the personal covenant name of God to be shared with the people. And the message that his name would communicate is that God's very presence is one that captures us and consumes us and surrounds us. I am would communicate that this God is not confined by an object, a season, or any definition. In fact, God's name communicates that he will be what he needs to be. So, if we are oppressed, I am says, I will be your liberator. If we're lost, I am says, I will be your salvation. If we're hurting, I am says, I will be your healer. If we're hungry, I am says, I will be your fill. I am, if we're thirsty, I am says, I will be your quencher. If we're confused, I am says, I will be your clarity. If we're confused or if we're sinful, I am says, I will be your forgiver. If we're a scoundrel, I am says, I will be your redeemer. If we believe we are worth nothing, I am says, I will be your worth. If we are scared, I am says, I will be your protection. If we are weak, I am says, I will be your strong and mighty tower. I am will be what I am. I will be what I need to be. For Abraham, I am was the creation of a nation through whom all nations would be blessed. For Joseph, I am was a rescue from an Egyptian prison. For Israel, I am was the fulfillment of a promised land. For Joshua, I am was the conquest of Jericho. For Hannah, I am was the blessing of a son named Samuel. For David, I am was the victory over a giant. For Daniel, I am was deliverance from a lion's den. For Ezra and Nehemiah, I am was the restoration of Jerusalem and the temple. For Peter, I am was restoration after a horrible fall from grace. For Paul, I am was the transformation from terrorist to minister of reconciliation. And for you and me, I am is, well, you fill in the blank. For some, I am is a better way of living in the Spirit of God. For some, I am is a better way of being meaningful to others. For some, I am is the way to meaning and purpose. For some, I am is healing after a painful divorce. For some, I am is comfort after the agonizing loss of a loved one. For some, I am is a blessing of comfort given through a brother and a sister in Christ. So now hear this again. Hear Jesus say to the Jews who were out to discredit him, this from the Message translation, "Believe me," said Jesus, "I am who I am long before Abraham was anything." You see, whatever you need, I'm talking about the deep longings of your heart that we often try to fulfill with temporal things or things that have no lasting value. Whatever your deep longings, Jesus wants to know, wants you to know, that before Abraham and everything else, I am. So it kind of moves us to what maybe the third thing that Jesus was trying to do in declaring this idea of I am. trying to let these Jews know, as they spent so much time and energy trying to discredit him and even kill him, that he wanted to be the I Am for them. See, right now, as you're listening to me talk, Jesus wants to be your I Am. He wants to be what you need him to be for you. He is the one that can answer, the only one that could really answer the deep longings of our heart and our spirit, whatever your deep longings are. Jesus wants to know them, and he wants you to know that before Abraham was even a thought, I am. So what can Jesus do for you today? I encourage you to share with the body how we can be praying for you, walking alongside you as you deliberate those things in your life that you need addressed, those deep longings, those deep needs. Please allow us to pray for you, to walk alongside you as we help to discover how Jesus can meet you where you are. There's a tab there that you can click that, and you can send a prayer request, and we'll make sure that we will dedicate some time in prayer for you. Or maybe what you really need is the saving grace of God. Do you want to be in I Am's care? Would you like to experience the saving love and grace of God? Again, click on that prayer tab and make your request known, or contact us through email. You can go to the website and contact us. We would love to talk to you about how Jesus can revolutionize your life at this very moment by being your I Am. And we're going to develop this theme over the next several weeks as we look at Jesus, the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the door, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, and the vine. I pray that you would take no other moment than right now to confess Jesus as your Lord, to make him your I Am, to allow him to be what he needs to be in your life.